Welcome to the Spurs Cast.
Profanity in the Spurs cast, but that's your choice. That's
attitude era Spurs cast, you know.
That's your choice, you know, not mine. So we can get Mr. Ben. I was just watching the Big Three. Man, I cannot be more stoked to go next week. I'm going to Dallas on Sunday. It is going to be awesome because my boy Kendall Gill has just been signed by the Power. And it's going to be pretty incredible.
Going to be lit.
Hey, man, what's up?
Not much. What's the word?
Kyrie is the word. Kyrie is the topic.
Derrick Rose.
Yeah, I saw that too. Let's go ahead. Let's just get started with it. How about that?
And is that the only thing we're talking about?
Yeah, that's it. I mean, we did this 2 days ago. Does anybody else have anything? I don't think there's any new news, per se.
Not yet. Just the Derrick Rose stuff, which we can talk about with the Kyrie Irving stuff.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Lots of stuff, Ryan.
Lots of stuff. All right, losers. You have arrived at episode 456 of the Spurs Cast, the original San Antonio Spurs radio show and podcast brought to you, of course, by ProjectSpurs.com. I am your arena announcer, it sounds like, but I'll be your host tonight, Mr. Ryan McCallum. Very formal. I'm here with your hero, Jose Grijalva, as always. Jose, say hello.
I'd like to start off, I think this is a very disrespectful Spurs cast episode. We're going to talk about somebody who's not even on the team when we have a Hall of Fame point guard who's hurt. We have a sharpshooting Australian mate.
Australian?
Australian.
Oh.
Australian, you know. And an up-and-coming star in DeJounte Murray. So I'd like to get that out of the way. Very disrespectful. But hi, guys.
Hi, and Ben Bornstein, of course, is with us.
That was an aggressive hello. Very aggressive.
Ben, how are you
Jose? I'm all right. Jose is already getting up on his high horse, and we haven't even started the topic yet, so this is going to be fun.
Yeah. Well, I know you guys are really concerned about my health. Thank you for asking. I'm not feeling so hot. I just got off a plane. Nose is running. Feeling down in the dumps. So I went down to the bar, the hotel, started watching the Big Three. Kendall Gill was on fire in the first game. Ball Hogs, anchored by Brian Scalabrine, were no match for Katino Mobley and Kendall Gill, who just lit it up for the Power. The Power are killing it so far this year in the Big Three. I know you guys have been watching the Big Three.
I will say this. Katino Mobley was unstoppable when he played with the Magic on NBA Live 05. He hit all of the threes in that game for me. It was great.
He's hitting all the threes in the Big Three. Jose, are you watching the Big Three or do you don't get cable?
I just choose not to watch it. I like to remember them as they were, you know, just not as they are, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Well, Let's spend this whole podcast, which could go 30 minutes or could go 3 hours, because we like to speculate. Let's talk about a team that was who we thought they were until they weren't, and that's the Cleveland Cavaliers. Guys, we thought the Cavs were going to be in it for the long haul. They were in the NBA Finals for 3 years in a row. That's never happened before, where the same two teams, Golden State and Cleveland, had been in the Finals for 3 years in a row. Not only does Cleveland have the great LeBron James, but LeBron paired with Kyrie Irving, was able to get Kevin Love to come to Cleveland and form this new super team. And LeBron operates best when he's with super teams. You know, see Miami of just a few years back. To have a super team in today's NBA, you've got to have three stars. And so they have Kevin Love, they had LeBron James, and perhaps they don't any longer have Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving apparently last week went to Cleveland's leadership and requested a trade. Says he doesn't want to play with LeBron James anymore. Lots of speculation as to why. And, of course, that got leaked about a week later, and we found out that news, and I'm not kidding, probably minutes after the last episode of the Spurs cast was wrapped up, which is typical for this podcast. We're like 5 minutes late to the news. But Kyrie Irving maybe is on his way out of Cleveland. He's issued a list of teams that he would go to. Of course, he does not have a no-trade clause, so it didn't really matter who's on his list of teams that he'd like to go to. But top of that list are your San Antonio Spurs. And I just wanted to get your first – before we dig into it, I wanted to get your first reactions. We'll start with Jose. I mean, when you heard that news, forget even the San Antonio element to it, when you heard that news, what did you – you know, what was your reaction? What did you think?
I wasn't surprised. I always thought Kyrie might have had a beef with LeBron. You know, first he left and it was Kyrie's team. Then, you know, he went through a couple of losing seasons, but they had a couple of number one picks. They were rebuilding. LeBron comes back, has Wiggins traded. Remember, he wrote that letter and didn't include Wiggins, which had everybody speculating, oh, you know, he's gone. So it's really been his team. He's had his buddies come in. He's given his buddies a big contract. Tristan Thompson, you know, he's one of those. You mentioned Kevin Love. He re-signed. So, I mean, it's really been built around LeBron. And then what happens? You know, the rumors are that LeBron's going to leave. So he's going to leave really Kyrie with his team of underachievers. I was not shocked. I think it was, I expected it sooner, really. I expected something to be brewing in Cleveland.
This is just a weird situation. When I heard that the Spurs were his favorite, I first said, well, good luck getting any assets in return. And two, the Spurs aren't taking Kyrie Irving so that they can be at the same level or potentially worse off. So that doesn't make any sense for the Spurs to me. Because if you take Kyrie Irving, you have to give up probably LaMarcus Aldridge, one of your recent first-round picks in either Derek White or DeJounte Murray, and another pick somewhere in order to get Kyrie Irving, who's a point guard, who's, yes, he's going to score and he's going to make you look pretty, but he's never going to play defense because he just doesn't care. And you've now mortgaged your potential future for a guy who may or may not stay through the end of his contract for the 19-20 season.
So, but you're thinking that it's a foregone conclusion that he goes to San Antonio, right? I mean, he's
no, there's nothing the San Antonio Spurs would give Cleveland that would make them happy. And there's nothing, there's no logic for them to take Kyrie Irving for what they would have to give up. They would probably be worse off trading for him.
Well, I disagree. I agree that there couldn't be. There could be some things that go. We did a lot of scenarios, right? There could be a straight San Antonio to Cleveland trade, but it's probably likely that there's a third or even a fourth team involved in that trade. So it's not necessarily that San Antonio has to go straight up, even though we did some scenarios and saw, and we'll talk about some of those here on the show, but we did see some where, like, and I'll give you one example. You could just go straight up Tony Parker for Kyrie and the money works.
Oh, good gosh.
Well, I know it's sacrilege, but Jose, I mean, think about it, what you've said ever since Tony went out. You even said this 3 days ago on the last podcast, that you said Tony Parker is done. He won't come back.
I agree on that.
Well, but if he doesn't come back, then why not trade him to Cleveland, get Kyrie, and LeBron's already leaving, as Cleveland thinks. And then you get to rebuild because you could just wipe off Tony Parker's contract off of your books. He's got 1 year left. You just write him off. Waive him.
I agree. I think they should do something like that. We got to remember, and to Ben's point, I don't think it's whatever Cleveland wants. I think they're going to try to make this trade to try to keep LeBron after – you know, next season. So would Tony Parker work? I think so, because again, he'd be a free agent after next season, so his salary would be off the books. Mm-hmm. I think they would have to package him and LaMarcus. I know that's around like what 38 million or something around that. So again, they would have to include maybe a bad contract in return, but I think that would satisfy LeBron, because again, LaMarcus is still an elite player. I think he would be really great in the East, not necessarily in how he plays in the West. They could get to the finals again with that squad. If Tony Parker comes back even better one more year, he's going to be playing for another contract. I don't think San Antonio would necessarily give up too much. Maybe those two and DeJounte Murray. But again, you'll have Patty Mills and Kyrie Irving. Ginobili can play the backup point guard. Derek White can play point guard. Kawhi's really kind of a point guard. So I don't think they'd give that much. And that means you'd keep Danny Green, which an elite defender. Mm-hmm. But I think it would take that situation where it's maybe DeJounte Murray, LaMarcus Aldridge, and Tony Parker. They would get an up-and-coming star like in DeJounte Murray. LaMarcus, if he performs great, I mean, he could opt in, he could stay in, or he could opt out from his player option. And Tony Parker would be off the book. So they would get a chance to stay competitive and at the same time, get some salaries off the books for next season. In case LeBron leaves, then you get some picks, you know, especially if there's a third team involved, or you just get more salary cap to make it easier to start over.
Yeah, I totally agree with you that if anything short of Kawhi Leonard, which, of course, San Antonio's not getting ditching to Kawhi, but if you have an opportunity to get a guy like Kyrie Irving on your team, anything short of Kawhi Leonard, you include in that trade. And that's if you go straight up. Now, I'm not thinking that they have to or will do that, but they have those options.
This theoretical stuff is all fine and dandy, but this isn't NBA 2K where you can turn off all the trade sliders and say you have to agree to this trade. The Cleveland Cavaliers would not agree to this trade. They would not. There is no room for LaMarcus Aldridge. They have Tristan Thompson, Kevin Love, and LeBron James. You're going to put LeBron James at three and take away a crap ton of minutes from the likes of Iman Shumpert, potentially J.R. Smith, Richard Jefferson, who's back for another year and who actually played well. And they have Channing Frye they have to worry about as well. And they signed that guy, C.D. Osman. Mm-hmm. And they signed Jeff Green. There's no room for LaMarcus Aldridge, and it doesn't make sense because they already have a big man who's a way better rebounder and doesn't need shots.
Well, I know, but don't focus on LaMarcus. I mean, I think having LaMarcus going to Cleveland from San Antonio directly, I think that's a non-starter for a lot of the reasons of that you said. But I'm saying that if San Antonio has an opportunity to involve a third or a fourth team in this deal, you would do anything. You'd move anybody.
Then you send LaMarcus to one of those other teams, perhaps?
So what happens here if this has been rumored a bit, if you send LaMarcus Aldridge out to Jose Grijalva's Phoenix Suns, I think he has an ownership stake. Phoenix wanted LaMarcus a couple of years ago. They could use LaMarcus, and Eric Bledsoe makes his way to Cleveland.
I heard stake. Still, I mean, I know you guys don't like to focus on LaMarcus, but I think from the Cavs' point of view, if you think about Kevin Love, LaMarcus, LeBron James, and a potentially, he could have a great year in Derrick Rose, Shumpert and J.R. Smith in that backcourt, I think that's a lethal starting five for the East. So I think that they might be thinking that way. Maybe I'm just being Cleveland happy. Well, I might be dehydrated at the same time because I haven't drank my electrolyte, my green tea.
Is that the Mexican supplements, the Mexican Gatorade?
No, the Mexican Pedialyte.
Hey, so you kind of buried the lead there. What we didn't get to and why Kyrie's totally gone in Cleveland, even though he requests, you hear sometimes, oh, I've requested a trade, I'd like a trade, but it's all for naught, and nothing really happens. Like cooler heads prevail.
There was the infamous Kobe Bryant trade demand that never happened.
That's the trade
that never came. Yeah,
you hear these things a lot, and sometimes nothing comes of it. But a couple of things: Stephen A. Smith, a guy who I would never allow in this podcast in 100 years because the guy's horrible. He's reporting that somebody with knowledge of LeBron James thinking says that LeBron James would beat Kyrie's ass if he saw him. You know, have you heard that report?
Yes, it sounds absolutely ludicrous and not a good kind of ludicrous.
It's just stupid. But So there's that. There's the whole the emotions involved here, and reports of LeBron James being disappointed and all that. But that's all anecdotal stuff. What's factual is that Derrick Rose just signed with Cleveland.
For
the way I do rumor, whatever you want to call it, because you know I think now he wants a divorce. On that he wanted a divorce. I could see that LeBron is very. I mean, it's the same way. Like if Ryan started getting another co-host, I would go down to Austin. Mm-hmm. I would open up a can of whoop, and then you know Ben would have to hold me back.
Well, it's crazy that Ben has been here for the past few shows. Maybe there's an audition happening.
Oh, Ken.
I want you to interview for your own job. What would you
love
say
it.
You do?
Let's ride. I lighten up the show and keep Jose in check.
There you go. But Derrick Rose signs, guys, in Cleveland. So Kyrie
he actually had a really good year left him for 2.1 in my book.
Yeah, I mean a good deal for Cleveland, and you know a good deal for Derrick Rose. So Kyrie's gone, so he's going to go somewhere. Go ahead.
When did these rumors start? Because they wanted they wanted him for Kyrie wasn't there. So maybe there's so much disrespect.
Derrick Rose was meeting one point. He was rumored to go to almost every team at some point this summer.
Yeah. I mean, but it's a done deal now, right? So
then, but it's just. You know, there were rumors he would go to Milwaukee,
mm-hmm.
Antonio. They were stay with the Knicks.
Well, the San Antonio thing, I think, started on this show.
Wait, I was not no part of that. I heard no.
Hey, let me ask you guys: Are you as far as your audio on this show? Are you getting like every other word right now? Are you hearing each other?
No, you're
cleanly.
Clear, my dude.
I think you're.
Ooh.
I didn't hear any of that. So if there was an insult that was thrown out, I missed it.
Ryan, it's in bitches of this podcast.
We have problems.
Okay, you guys just talk amongst yourselves.
Well, I have a broken chair, so half of my butt is like sort of uncomfortable. That's why.
What are you doing sitting in a broken chair?
A new one.
Should go to IKEA and get a bed.
That's too no.
Too much.
I'll go to Mexico and have somebody build it for me. For dun dun dun.
MAGA. So what are some of those scenarios, guys, of Kyrie Irving making his way to San Antonio? I mean, I would typically say that's a totally unrealistic thing because San Antonio just does not get stars. I mean, LaMarcus Aldridge was the big free agent acquisition, and I can't really recall another free agent acquisition that was of that stature.
The only thing I can think of was a reacquisition. 2000, when Tim Duncan was strongly considering playing for the Orlando Magic, and the Spurs brought him back.
Of course you would bring up Orlando.
Who were never the same Orlando. Mm-hmm. But of course he had no problems playing.
You forgot six. Remember he was a sought out free agent. Crickets, right?
Well, what I'm saying is it just doesn't happen often.
The Spurs cast. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, I'm just saying it doesn't happen often, right? And so to have it rumored that Kyrie has San Antonio at the top of his list is unique for San Antonio. So and it makes it somewhat of a reality. Not that Cleveland has to honor that in any way, but you know Kyrie's not going to play in the Eastern Conference next year. He is going to play in the Western Conference next year. Cleveland's not going to trade him to somebody inside of the conference.
unless it's to a really crappy team like the Orlando Magic.
Yeah, I mean, something, I guess that could happen. But it's likely that he'll get traded out of conference. And so if he goes out of the conference, San Antonio's at the top of his list. It's not totally unrealistic that San Antonio's his destination. So what are some of those scenarios that you've heard or that you've thought about where Kyrie comes to San Antonio? What has to happen?
A lot of things. Somebody be thinking real emotionally, I think. That's my take.
I would say that they just cut off the emotion. I'll play opposite. I think they'll cut the Tony Parker, LaMarcus Aldridge, sort of fall in love with the best available player out there, which is Kyrie. It's a win-win situation for San Antonio, I think, if they get him. I mean, it kills off the plans for 2018, whatever plans they had. Especially if LeBron wanted to sign there, you're not obviously not going to get LeBron since they're fighting over this. But I mean, you get a point guard of the future. He's still like what, 24?
Yeah, he's
around there.
Old, yeah.
Kawhi's around 24 too. I mean, you get another star, and if Rudy Gay pans out, you have a big four there. So I absolutely, I think, get like how you said, anybody short of Kawhi, 2-3 player trade, whatever, you get it done.
I would totally agree. I think. San Antonio needs to offer the farm, the absolute farm, to get this thing done.
It's not even, you know what the crazy part is? It's not even LaMarcus Aldridge and Tony Parker's salary anymore that's going to hamstring the Spurs next offseason. It's Pau Gasol's new contract. You just got 3 years, 48 mil.
Yeah, how did that happen, by the way? I mean, talk about how that happened.
He had 16 mil, I think, on his player option this year and opted out. And I immediately thought, okay, the Spurs are not gonna pay him 16 mil a year. That's dumb. No, what do? They still go pay him 16 mil a year. Unbelievable. What are you doing?
I like it.
They've now hamstrung themselves. And there's no chance they can get a max salary guy in free agency next year because of the way his contract is structured. It was possibly the dumbest thing I've seen them do in a long time. And, of course, as I say that, Pau Gasol's going to go out and have, like, some sort of monster year at age 37 and make me look like a total idiot.
I personally like it. You know, he's going to get $16 million blah this season. But, I mean, the fact that it's a three-year partial guarantee for the third year, it's a guarantee that he's going to retire that year. So it makes him tradable after the second season. So you can basically think about him as an expiring contract for next season. You could sign that free agent and, again, just trade him and clear cap room for whoever you're going to sign for if it's a sign and trade.
Hold on.
I love it.
Why would you think if you think he's retiring in the third year – and other people think he's retiring in the third year, why would he be a tradable piece? Why would somebody trade for a guy who's going to retire anyway?
Because he'd be and sort of an expiring contract.
But if it's not fully guaranteed, it doesn't matter. The Spurs can just cut him loose after the second year anyway and save the money.
Or you could trade him and save the money, Ben. Come on, bro.
I'm not going to help you.
Okay, but who at that point is paying for a 39-year-old Pau Gasol? Trading for a 39-year-old Pau Gasol?
Somebody wants cap room. Maybe Cleveland. You know, maybe they want to get one good run out of Powell. Take him with
God. Orlando.
Oh, but he can't be traded till December, though.
Yes, I don't think it's right. Got to be Orlando because they're going to be the idiots who do that. They definitely will be those idiots.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's a strange deal. I think it's not the cash that gets me. It's the number of years that gets me with Powell, because I was fully aware and in the camp that both Patty and Powell were going to be gone this offseason, and Manu was going to retire. For me, it just made a lot of sense. Here's a couple of signings that are going to come back and bite San Antonio. The Patty Mills deal is a deal that never should have happened. I'm glad that Patty's there. I mean, reliable, he does his thing, and he's good for, you know, 15 points on a good day. Powell is probably about the same. But these are guys where, God, man, you should have let him walk because you're inhibiting the development of younger talent. With Powell there now, there's a roster spot. He's not going to be – I mean, you saw him in the playoffs. He was not productive. And you, what is a non-mobile, and I'm calling Pau Gasol now at this age, a non-mobile center. Who's he going to step out and defend? No one. So how does signing Pau Gasol allow you to be competitive against a team like Golden State? It doesn't. I think these are two signings that are really going to come back and bite them.
Well, I mean, at the same time, they were pretty close to beating Golden State in that one game. And, I mean, well, I think that would have opened, you know, a floodgate or whatever you want to call it.
Whatever.
but it wasn't
because of Pau Gasol.
Well, I know, but I mean, they didn't, at the same time, they didn't need him, I guess you could say. But he was some, you know, he did something. You know what I mean?
I don't think anybody knows what you mean.
I mean, David Lee, less Pau Gasol.
I'm trying to defend the guy. He's an old guy. Stop picking on
old guys. Don't.
By the way,
don't defend him.
The one scenario I see that you guys might not believe in is, you know, especially if he's going to retire that third year, I could see him going to Memphis. Big old goodbye. Mm-hmm. A trade over there. I think Memphis would take it because they're not really contenders. You know, and you might not see Conley thereafter, and you might see another Gasol come in that trade. So I think this is all strategic planning.
Not to San Antonio.
Okay, Mike Conley's going to be there only because his contract definitely runs through that year after the extension he got. And he loves that city. That's his second home. So I don't know how you see him leaving or getting traded, but fine.
He
was fantastic. He would not leave Memphis willingly. So I don't see the Grizzlies trading him for anything, because you don't pay a guy that much money and say he's like one of the greatest players in franchise history and then trade him. You don't do that. So, I mean, I'm all for a Gasol brothers.
There's no way
reunion.
You can say Marc Gasol is better than Bryant Reeves.
Who's that? Is that like your cousin? Is that like who was the other McCallum?
Ray McCallum.
Yeah, him. Yeah. How's he doing?
He's doing amazing.
He's alive.
He's doing amazing. You guys honestly don't. You're talking about best in franchise history, Big Country.
Oh.
Are you guys totally drawing blanks there? From the Vancouver days. Oh my God. Okay, look it up. Look it up.
I'm
guys.
Only 30 years old, man. Chill.
Jay Will as a Memphis Grizzly was greater than the Big Country as a Memphis Grizzly. I said
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
Granted, I would say Jay Will as whatever team he was on is better than whoever else you can name from that team, because Jay Will's my guy, but still.
Isn't Jay Will on the 3-3 thing?
He was injured. First day, yeah. No, the best Memphis Grizzly, it's one of the Gasols or it's Shane Battier.
Oh, that's true.
Given.
Guys, NBA champion, guys, Shane Battier.
We totally have gotten off topic, although it's a nice topic to sit on and do Memphis Grizzlies talk, but the Kyrie Irving thing. You guys didn't really give any scenarios where Kyrie lands here. I threw out one. I have several. But what do you think about, you know, sending LaMarcus Aldridge out to Phoenix, Bledsoe going to Cleveland, and those are the primaries. There's probably some other people involved in that, but Bledsoe going to Cleveland, and then Kyrie coming down to San Antonio in a three-person deal. As your primary,
I think
might package him with other stuff.
I think it'd be foolish, only because they got Derrick Rose. Why do you really want Bledsoe? And then they have those two overpaid guards in J.R. Smith and Shumpert.
And they have Jose Calderon.
Yeah.
Oh, they got him as well.
The other Jose.
Well, I'm thinking, guys, that some of those players are moving, right? I mean, in a package with this, right? Some of those guys are going to move around, but I'm saying your primaries.
This is why I don't do hypothetical trades, man. I don't mess with this stuff.
Well, every trade is hypothetical until it happens. So, what are you talking about?
You know what? I'm going to go with my earlier trade just because DeJounte is a really good friend of LeBron's, since his college years. So DeJounte's college year. So I think they're going to try to just make LeBron happy, and maybe they can get lucky with DeJounte. Tony Parker, LaMarcus, you know, they could come off the books and they could just rebuild.
Hey,
I think that's the best situation.
By the way, before we get some of Ben's scenarios, since he knows so much, one of the other teams that were on that list for him to go to, for Kyrie to go to,
Miami.
He wanted to go to, no, not my Miami Heat, right, which is true. He did want them on the list. He wanted to go to Minnesota. Dude.
Well, who wouldn't with the way that team looks
right
now?
I know, but this just continues this theme of Minnesota getting the draw of everybody. Like, real stars trying to go to Minnesota. That's just very strange to me. Because you don't have to. Nobody's forcing you to live in Minnesota.
How many fans do we have from Minnesota? Anyways.
You got more than Philippines from Minnesota.
I just think it was it's the Jimmy Butler mystique, you know, that they push. They only supposedly they only needed one guy, and then Jeff Teague came in, and who else? Jamal Crawford. So I mean, it's
Gibson.
The cool thing to do. Yeah, it's the cool thing to do. But again, that coaching, that is he? No, is he?
That'd be awesome.
Oh, that's you. I thought it was the other one.
Call me, call B.
Yeah, I just think it's the cool decision right now. It'll get old when Tibbs doesn't play his bench and, you know, everybody's upset.
I was going to say, when he eventually runs them into the ground.
Yeah.
He runs his starters into the ground. Can't wait.
So
who's
so
their
Ben,
shooting guard? Who's their starting shooting guard?
Jimmy Butler.
He's a three, isn't he?
No, he's a
two. Oh, Wiggins is still there, huh? Because, I mean, I could definitely see him starting Jamal Crawford for some reason. At the two and just running him into the ground.
No, that's a bad idea. Terrible idea. Let Jamal Crawford win like his 15th Sixth Man of the Year award and just let it ride.
Oh, he won't win that.
So
not
Ben,
with that attitude.
Yeah. So Ben, how does Kyrie get to San Antonio?
Awkwardly and probably on a plane. But aside from that, I think it's going to require giving up a lot of assets the Spurs don't feel comfortable giving up. The last time they gave up, now granted, the last time they gave up a lot of assets or big assets was it got them Kawhi Leonard. So that happened to work out. But there's a reason they don't do this all the time like other teams like to do, because you're not as certain. When you get rid of assets, you're not as certain. Things become less certain for your franchise. The Spurs like knowing that they're going to pick in the 20s every year so they can properly scout people. And they know, okay, we don't need to bother with top 10 talent guys. We can go scout and find our diamond in the rough. And they've become quite good at that. So I think it's going to require a lot of assets, a large contract in LaMarcus Aldridge, and possibly a third team. I do not like it.
So without any specifics, I guess I'll turn over to Jose. Because, Ben, I was coming to you for giving me specific scenarios.
I don't do specific scenarios, man.
And you gave me nothing. You gave our listeners nothing.
Yo, well, there's the guilt trip. That's what I was waiting on.
You know what? This is the third time I said this. I'm still going with my original trade, scenario. Because, I mean, isn't it weird that David Lee has not signed? Maybe because
the Spurs don't have the room.
Exactly. So maybe you give up a couple of assets, another roster space to make that Kyrie trade work. Yeah. Knock, knock.
God. Yeah, I would agree. I think, I mean, you've got a couple of those primaries, but then you move. You're going to end up moving several people, and Cleveland, you know, would just cut either to make room. Like if you moved Tony Parker, you know, you just cut to make room. A lot of options.
So many options.
So this is devolving quickly because we don't really have anything. So, guys, I need to go through. This is really important. Top 25 players in Memphis Grizzlies history. Number 25, Quincy Poindexter. 24, Tony Massenburg.
Oh, NBA champion Tony Massenburg with the 2005 Spurs.
23,
wow.
Sam Young.
Who?
22, who? And this is complete BS, Bryant Reeves is 22.
Who was
20? Who was 23? Was Sam Young. He, of course, was among the scant number of good draft picks by Chris Wallace. He averaged 7.3 points a game on 45% shooting in 16 minutes. 2009-2010. That was his rookie season. Of course, you knew that. He stepped up in his sophomore campaign after current San Antonio Spur Rudy Gay went down with a season-ending injury. He started the last 34 games of that season. So, and of course, you already knew that.
Any relation to May?
Yeah. Moving on. 22 is Bryant Reeves. 20. This is a BS list because 21 is Mike Bibby.
U of A alumni. People like, wow.
Number
Most
20.
Most people like Mike Bibby over J-Well, but okay, sure.
Number
whatever.
20 is Stromile Swift.
Man, sure, Memphis had that a guy lot was, of good players, That guy had man. Some problems.
Yeah, but he was part of, he was the Stro show. Yeah. Okay, here you go. Hakeem Warrick was number 19.
I can see that.
Other than the Gasol brothers, only Hakeem Warrick's made at least half of his shots.
It's Hakeem Warrick, though.
Greg Anthony.
In
Vancouver, Greg Anthony. Number 17 is Maurice Spates. Who did he just sign?
Well, he's a free agent.
Did he sign with somebody? Yeah.
He signed with Orlando.
Yeah, that's right. With Orlando. That's right.
Now we can call him Spates Mountain.
Oh, number 6, Bonzi Wells, currently of the big three. Bonzi Wells at number 16. Number 15 is Chucky Atkins.
Oh.
A name I haven't heard in a while.
Dude, RIP, Lorenzen Wright.
Oh, wow.
RIP, big RIP. They don't even reference in this article. They don't even reference his death. Did he woke up in a river or something, right?
Did he wake?
Well, I guess he didn't wake up. Jose, why are you smiling?
This is podcast, sir.
Number 13's Michael Dickerson. Watch your mouth.
Whatever.
Number 12 is White Chocolate.
Yeah.
Formerly of the big three. Number 11 is O.J. Mayo.
Oh.
Man, you can't have a condiment and a drink in a name. That's ridiculous.
USC, great. Oh, number 10, Mike Miller.
Oh, yeah, Mike Miller was balling.
Number 9, James Posey.
NBA champion James Posey with the 2008 Boston Celtics.
Number 8, Rudy Randolph Gay. I don't know if his middle name's Randolph, but Rudy Gay.
just made up a middle name.
Fourth highest scorer in Grizz history, 18 points a game. But he was averaged between 18 and 20 points per game in his second to sixth years, but shot better than 36% and better than 80% from the line just once. He was not a good shooter, is basically what this says. He improved defensively alongside Tony Allen, so that gives some Spurs some hope because you have a premier wing defender like Tony Allen. You got two premier wing defenders in San Antonio, in Danny Green and Kawhi. So maybe that improves things for Rudy Gay. Number 7, Shane Battier. Number 6 is that very same Tony Allen. Number 5 is Mike Conley. Number 4 is Sharif Abdur-Rahim.
Currently
in the big three, great. Number 3 is San Antonio Spur Pau Gasol. Number 2 is Mark Gasol. And number 1, is Zach Randolph. How do we forget Z-Bo? That's right.
How did we get to a list of...
Well, because we said earlier that this podcast was going to be about the potential to have Kyrie Irving come to San Antonio. And so when we were doing all homework, we said, hey, come up with some scenarios and come prepared. And then nobody did. So this is what happens. We devolve into Memphis Grizzlies.
No, to my defense, I never come prepared. Right before you start recording, I always ask what we're going to talk about.
You do.
I never get a sheet or anything about it, on it. So
you never give a what?
It's all talent. A sheet? No, I don't get a sheet.
Oh, you don't get a sheet. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah,
gotcha.
What did you think I said?
I don't know.
I think you... Oh, jeez.
All right.
Thank
is a PG.
God. This is the end of this episode of the SpursCast. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at the SpursCast. Catch up with Jose at JRG1023. The Boomstein, where can they get you?
The_Boomstein.
Me, I'm at RyanMC_PS. Do not follow me or any of my friends. But make sure that you do follow Project Spurs folks at Project Spurs. Jose, thank you. Ben, thank you. And to you listeners, you're welcome.